Hello, this is 3D Up Close and Personal.
I'm David.
And you.
I'm Daryl. This is 3D Up Close and Personal. Today we're dealing with death.
Episode 12.
I search for your laughter in shadows where you used to be. But the echoes just remind me of what we will never see. Gone too soon.
And this is what's guaranteed. Everybody who has a physical body, rich, poor, whatever nationality, whatever race, wherever you're at in this world, it's guaranteed you're going to die.
Oh, no.
Episode that everybody can relate to. Davey, do you have a letter?
Yes, in fact, I sure do. It reads,
Dear Up Close and Personal, my son died from cancer years ago. The day he died, I was at work. My focal point was not the best that day. In hindsight, I should have took off work as soon as I got the news. I contacted my girlfriend. She told me to call her when I get off work. I called her and we met at my place. She gave me the biggest hug and a kiss. We laid down and took a nap. She held me close and tried to comfort me in my time of need. I can say it was really nice to have someone in my life that was concerned about my well-being. She was supported the whole time of this ordeal. She came to the funeral, and she even volunteered to serve food for the guest at the repast. I'm sharing my experience of losing a loved one and at the same time having someone who had my back during a vulnerable time in my life. Sincerely, Son Gone.
Oh, wow, that was really an amazing account.
Yeah, Mr. Son Gone, thanks for sharing. Situation like that, what I was mentioning, you guys can share with me an experience. His situation was slow. He died from cancer. David, you can agree with me. Most people that die from a disease is not overnight. Am I correct?
Yes, exactly.
It's a slow process. He might be going to chemo or radiation or whatever, so slowly die.
Compared to an accidental death, which could be a stabbing or shooting, a drug overdose, a car or motorcycle accident, or possibly an industrial accident at work.
You go out in the morning, you say, okay, I'll see you later.
You get a call midday and they say that your wife, your husband, your son or daughter, maybe even your parents or grandparents, other relatives or maybe a close friend has been killed and we need you to come identify the body.
Oh my God!
It's a difference. My analogy was like outdoor roller coasters. You go up the hill, you see what's going to happen. You see the downward. It might even slow down a minute at the top. Compared to Disney World or Disneyland.
They have a roller coaster called Space Mountain. It's an indoor roller coaster. And they only have miniature lights to imitate stars. And it's dark in there.
And you can't see. It might not be the biggest and fastest roller coaster, but because you can't see the track. You don't know how to brace your body for the twists and turns. Similar to like death. Because you don't know when it's going to come. You can make plans. Like, well, hey, you know, they don't be here for a minute. And they leave you.
You died on me. That's so not fair.
It happens like that.
Daniel?
Yes.
The length of time for grieving, please.
There is no timeline for how long grief lasts, but you may start feeling better as soon as you move through the grieving process. I can say from my own experience in social work that grieving, an experience like that is traumatic. And from what I know in my training is that trauma, healing from that is not linear. It's over time. That can look differently for everybody.
That's true. The length of time. We'll make a scenario up. Man or woman. The woman loses her mother. She's grieving. They've been together for 2 years. He's been a good man for her, and they've been going through the thing. He's giving her time to heal because she lost her mom. But a month then went by, and she's like in a state of depression. She's in a funk. He wants to be intimate, and she's not feeling.
I lost my mother, baby. I'm sorry. I'm not in that kind of mood. I'm still grieving.
Patience is a virtue. But I mean, that could be challenging for the relationship as well.
Right.
I've never really been in a situation like that. I lost a loved one.
Oh, you were on the receiving end of relations.
I guess to give me comfort in my time of need.
Hey.
Not saying that fixed the problem, but it was an outlet. Somebody being killed can be really more challenging and more traumatic to the person.
It may take longer with the healing process.
Just say a woman lost her husband. Or a man lost wife. It may take them a little while before they start dating again. We heard many stories where a month later, a week later, and the man, he got a new woman, or the woman's got a new man. Less than a month, she's got somebody new, or he's got somebody new.
I guess death can make the mind just go in so many different directions. It'll make you question your own identity or question your choice about the person that you're committed to. Ain't no telling what happens to us, you know, when we're going through that particular time.
No doubt. What a person should do in the relationship to comfort a person who's grieving. Help me out.
How to help your partner through grief. The key points are, you know, remember that you're there to support them, not fix the problem. As much as you want to take pain away, it's important to remember that grief is not something that can be fixed. Being non-judgmental, present, and listening to what they're saying. Make it easier on them by taking the pressure off of them, accept their feelings, and help them find further support if they need it.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree.
I think with the compassion and patience.
Yes.
Yeah.
What should be said to a grieving person? Sorry for your loss, my condolences. You know, that's kind of common phrase. Is there anything that may be online that they are saying?
What do you say to people in that moment is that you aren't going crazy. Your grief reactions are normal. Grief has no expiration date. If you don't want to talk, I'll just sit beside you.
Anything else?
Let me know if I can help. Of course, it's normal. I'm sorry for your loss. We won't forget him or put in the gender or the pronoun for that term. I am praying for you and will always be. And we loved her like she was one of the family. What I also pulled up last is not necessarily giving advice or maybe saying what you think you would want to hear in the moment. I think really just focusing on that person and what they're going through.
What I've noticed during people that's going through death, somebody says, if you need anything, let me know. And the person going through the grieving process says, no thanks, we're good. The other person say, you know, because basically they really didn't want to help. Just breathe that sigh of relief. Bring us some food for the fans.
We need $2,000 to help bury him. He didn't have a life insurance policy.
Yes, yes. You asked.
You could try to cremate him. That would be less expensive.
One that I thought was really good. I cannot possibly understand how you feel, but I'm here. And I reflect on that a lot just because that is something that we do say in the line of work that I'm in. We definitely don't try to say that we understand. We try to find different ways to express that we're empathizing with that person and we can, you know, get a sense of what they're saying, but you never truly know how that person feels.
You can say it. Yeah, I know how you feel. Wait a minute. Well, you know what? Somebody who lost a parent, you could have a general idea, you could have empathy, but you won't, you know, everybody takes a grieving different. You may see a person at the funeral or memorial service, whatever they have, and they're just bald. You'll see somebody else and they're reserved.
I'm crying on the inside. I'm soaking wet. You got a towel.
Not saying they're not hurt. Not saying they don't have pain, but they don't show it out.
Everybody's different the way they express the grieving process.
What should not be said to a person who is grieving?
There are some things that you shouldn't say to someone who is experiencing or going through grief. How are you doing? I guess that's pretty much a given. They're not probably doing well. You'll be okay after a while. I understand how you feel. Shouldn't feel that way. Stop crying. At least he's in a better place. His suffering is over. At least she lived a long life. Many people die young. A lot of that does sound like diminishing that person's experience.
In that case, really less is more.
Yes.
Exactly. Sure.
To help somebody grieving, I mean, especially if you don't live with them, is to check in after a couple weeks after the funeral, the ceremony is over. You have a lot of people around during the beginning. But give it about a month and you'll see who's around then.
Yep. And when in doubt, maybe just shut up.
Silence is golden.
If you have any doubts about saying the wrong thing, just your being there, your presence, is more helpful than just letting something incessant fly out your mouth.
Right.
Hey, thanks for coming by. I'm going to lay down for a while.
Wait, I just got here.
Yeah, I know, but I'm having a moment here.
That was a nice way of getting rid of you.
What to say to children? Because, I mean, sometimes children lose their parents or lose a sibling, you know, or a grandparent. And some children can handle death. Some of them can't. Some of them don't understand. They say,
why?
Did this person have to die?
It'd be nice to know what to tell them so that they will be less confused about what's going on.
What I'm found is more so like what a parent would say to their child. The best way to, you know, take the child and let them know that, you know, they have lost a loved one, is to find a safe and quiet space to speak to their child and definitely be straightforward with them. Don't use like euphemisms like we lost someone or, you know, they went on to be in a better place. It's pretty much you just need to be forward and say, I'm sorry, I have bad news to share with you. Your grandparent has died. Kids definitely seem to understand more directness than that vague, broad language. What I'm reading here sounds like that's the best approach as far as sharing that information with them.
Is it appropriate to give money? Or is it appropriate just to have a card or gifts? What would be appropriate gift for a grieving person or family?
It looks like this is something that's normal from what I'm looking online. And they're saying that the etiquette with that would be to give it anonymously if you're going to give them money for some reason. Maybe that way you won't have to feel a need to reach out to you.
Now what about this? You're at a funeral. There's a whole bunch of cards there. I'm not saying be a bad person there at the funeral, but it's a possibility that somebody may take advantage of the grieving person or the grieving family and maybe grab a card or two, hoping that it might be some money. It's just real. There's a little gift in there. Don't just sit this card down where it may disappear on you. That I want you to have. It might be just up to the person, the giver, to make that decision.
You know how your people are, proceed with caution.
Isn't that the skin tone? It's the character. Is this a bad character out there?
Yes, it is.
And they come to funerals. I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness. They show up everywhere.
I have been to a few weddings and they have like a wishing well or a wish or some kind of box, like a lock box. The bride and groom didn't have to really worry about when the gifts get lost, it's just dropping the box. Box locked.
Signed, sealed, and dropped in the lockbox. Sounds like a good deal.
That's smart.
And it's a big box. We don't need any help with the box, we'll care. Or maybe just have a designated person that would collect the cards or something. But I think that'd be a great idea. You know, like since when the people come in and sign the book, that they have a box right there. They're saying something called locked up. They have to worry about. Sometimes the people that are grieving it, and you getting a card here and there, you got 35 cards, and then you're a man, you only have so many pockets. Woman, she might be able to stuff in the purse, especially a woman that has a large purse. She may have a few items in there. I mean, she can probably take care of them all. I don't just depends on how big the purse.
I have a big purse. You never know what you might need to carry.
I could probably put a 20-pound cat in there.
The funeral directors, they probably make some kind of way. But yeah, I agree with you. There should be some kind of setup. What I was looking at here online, they're saying that sometimes people will tell people that they need, you know, financial support in lieu of gifts or flowers. That's a possibility.
I knew a guy who died and it took a month to bury him because siblings was arguing, saying
he wanted to be buried, not cremated. I remember him saying that.
They had to collect the money because he didn't have death insurance. And they had to collect the money, and so it took a month. And he finally got buried. This is early internet day. You know, the internet was active then, but I don't really recall anything about a GoFundMe page where she can really help out. I'm not going to stay on death. We just wanted to touch it to say that we have a wide variety of human situations. This is 3D Up Close and Personal, and we're going to call it a day on this episode.
I'm David.
I'm Daryl. This is 3D Up Close and Personal.
3D Up Close and Personal, the relationship podcast.
We'd like to thank you for listening.
We have a new release every week.
And 12 episodes you can listen to anytime.
We are on 18 platforms.
And people have tuned in from 8 different countries.
3D Up Close and Personal is produced by Parks Media Group.
Additional music provided by Lord Astro 2025. All rights reserved.
Like and subscribe and share.